Welcome to Ales and Strange Tales. We are your hosts,
Chris Moyers
and Dan Stickney. We like to crack open a beer or two and share tales of the supernatural, paranormal, and just plain strange.
So sit back, grab yourself a drink, and dive into the strange with us. Welcome back to Ales and Strange Tales, Season 4, Episode, I think it's 9.
Nine.
The next episode is our season finale.
Hopefully we'll do something cool.
We'll do something.
I guess you'll find out.
Well, we might do something. I don't know what the fuck. We'll discuss it tonight.
Yeah.
We'll let you know next
episode.
We're
very professional, you know?
Anyway, I did bring a beer today, so Dan doesn't holler at me again.
About fucking time.
It's just a Miller Lite, though.
Just a lame-ass Miller Lite.
It's leftover from the other day. I didn't drink it, which was probably a good thing. What do you got?
Well, I've had this several times. It's one of my favorites.
Motherfuck.
Yeah. Anti-Hero. IPA out of Revolution Brewing in Chicago. 6.7. You know the deal.
We know the deal. Those are good ones, though. I like Anti-Hero.
They're really good.
You said 6.7?
6.7.
8, but yeah, I think it is 6.
If it was 8, I'd be in trouble.
Well, I was driving today, obviously. I had to leave work early to go get my car. What do they call it? Appraised or?
Appraised?
Not appraised.
No, because you're not selling it.
What the fuck did they call it? They took pictures of it because some asshole hit me with his
car. Oh, your insurance shit, yeah.
Anyway, on my way back, I saw some asshole with a Tesla and it had the matte finish. Guess what? It was a black Tesla.
I love the matte finish.
I call it matte because it sounds way cooler. Anyway, guess what fucking sticker? Or it was like a magnet thing on there. Guess what it was? A black matte finish on a Tesla. Just guess.
I don't know.
Batman. Fuck you and your Batman shit.
I love the matte finish. Teslas are dumb. A lot of recalls either way, but matte finish on cars, I think it's cool.
If you call it matte, I'll think it's cool.
Matte finish on cars, pretty cool.
I literally thought it was matte for about, I don't know, until fucking 7 years ago.
I heard, what the fuck? That just blew my mind. But I heard, this thug guy was like, you know, we do matte finish so we're under the lights, it doesn't fucking shine, we can just creep.
What? Yeah. Is that real? Is that a thing?
Yeah, probably. They can creep and shoot and get out of there, and they can't see.
Well, I guess if it serves a purpose, it's cool.
This guy was an idiot either way.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Apparently, I had a matte finish when this guy hit me, because I have my headlights on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's at night, obviously, I have my headlights on. He says, oh, it's dark over there. I couldn't see you. Like, you didn't see two fucking lights coming at you, fuckface?
Yeah, what a dumbass.
And I saw him just turning, just looking at me. He's looking right at me.
Probably on drugs.
No, I don't think. He was some little Filipino fuck with his mom in the backseat or something.
Jesus.
He's causing me a lot of hassle. Now I gotta go there and back and there and back. I gotta rent the fucking car and all this shit.
Well, you're gonna get some money, hopefully.
Yeah, I asked the guy, can I get, what do they call it? Depreciation money?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but his insurance company's going to decide what you get. Like, what? I want you to decide, man. Yeah. I want the highest amount. But I think as of now, the damages are going to cost his insurance $1,600. But when he takes off one of my little bumper areas, it might be damage in there, he said.
Oh.
So it might be more. It might take longer.
And you'll just take the check and move on.
Yeah, I suppose.
Buy yourself a new computer?
That was a different circumstance. I took the money and didn't get it fixed at all.
So, yeah, I've done that. Fuck it.
You're but I think to. In this circumstance, I had to get it fixed, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, shit.
I'm not an insurance agent.
Well, I thought you'd know something.
But anyway.
Thought. I could pocket the money.
Yeah, I think you can.
The front end's fucked and I didn't get it fixed anyway, so. All right, I may have to finish the story I started last week.
Oh, yeah.
I literally forgot we're doing a podcast for a second there. Okay. And it was entitled, what was it? The pit, what?
Big-faced woman? Preacher and something else.
That is correct. It is entitled, The Pig Woman, The Preacher, and The Murder.
Pig woman. I shouldn't say pig-faced woman. Jesus. Pig woman.
The pig-faced woman was your story. Your story, your new story,
I think,
right? Well, it was
pig-faced people, yeah.
Oh.
Or Human faced pigs, I think. That was the whatever the fuck it was.
I don't remember.
Alcohol. Oh. Shout out to our boy Jason.
Oh yeah, our friend
got engaged in Disneyland.
Disney World.
Oh yeah, I'll get beat up for that one.
Yeah, his fiance will not like that.
No.
Anyway, I found my spot, and here we go. While all this bickering was taking place, the Stevens family troubleshooter Henry Carpenter arrived at the scene with another attorney, viewed the bodies, and then left, almost unnoticed. Officers on the scene recovered several 32 caliber shells, but they managed to find little else in the way of clues. Unfortunately, crowds of curiosity seekers who came to the scene began walking away with souvenirs. That's not good. Ripping bark and leaves from the crab apple trees, and pulling up chunks of grass. Why the fuck would they do that?
That's like taking evidence.
Yeah, but who wants like, grass?
It could be blood or something on it.
Onlookers dipped handkerchiefs in the bloody grass, hoping for a gruesome remembrance.
This is like a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But still, it's fucked up. Finally, the police decided to take the bodies to the Somerset County Morgue before they, too, were carried away. As the investigation began, detectives began digging deeper into the case and interviewing everyone involved in any way. According to Miss Hall, she last saw her husband at 7:30 p.m. on the night of the murders when he left the house on business. She was disturbed when he did not return that night and went to the church looking for him the next day. She found Miss Mills there and, in the course of their conversations, realized that neither of their spouses had come home the previous night. In Mills' statement, he, too, agreed that his wife had left the house around 7:30 p.m. She did not tell him where she was going, and later that night, he went to bed. Around 2:30 a.m., he awoke and realized that his wife was not home. He dressed himself and their two small children and went to the church to search for Eleanor.
Time to kill.
Yeah, I'd be pissed. He didn't find her there and returned home to sleep fitfully the rest of the night. I don't think I'd be sleeping.
No. Not at all. At 2:30?
Yeah, fuck, I don't know what I'd do, but I wouldn't be sleeping. Several other witnesses stated that they had seen Miss Hall leave the mansion around 2:30 a.m. on the night in question with her brother, Willie. When confronted with this, she admitted that she did go out that night looking for her husband, but when she arrived at the church, she saw that the lights were out. She assumed that Reverend Hall was visiting a sick parishioner, and so she drove to the Mills house. When she saw that the lights were out there, too, she and Willie returned home. Detectives were suspicious of the stories told by both Miss Hall and by James Mills, but they had alibis that could not be broken. There was nothing to suggest that they were lying, but investigators felt certain that someone was. But who?
Who?
After weeks of dead ends in the murder case, a new lead was discovered. The clues came from the account of a woman named Miss Jane Gibson. She was a hog farmer who had been given the colorful name the Pig Woman.
Oh, there's the yeah, pig. There I was is. Waiting. Who is this fucking pig?
She came forward and told the police that she had seen members of the Stevens family kill Reverend Hall and Eleanor Mills near the apple tree. During the grand jury investigation, though, her story had changed a little. She could not say under oath that it had been Miss Hall, Willie Stevens, and Henry Carpenter who committed the murders, but she had seen the crime. The night had been too dark for her to see their faces, but she felt sure that's who it was. Huh. Based on this, the grand jury was unable to return an indictment, and the case went into limbo. 4 years later, before the case began making headlines again, Philip Payne, the managing editor of the New York Daily Mirror, received information that allowed him to push the case into active files again. One of the newspaper's reporters was covering a routine divorce case and realized that the defendant had once been employed as a maid for Reverend Hall at the time of the murders. The maid's husband was suing for divorce on the grounds that she had committed adultery, and one of the men she was accused of sleeping with was Reverend Hall.
Damn.
It was further alleged that Miss Hall gave the maid $6,000 to keep quiet about the affair and to confirm an alibi that she was at home at the time of the murders.
Shit.
The reporter informed Payne of the allegations, and he put pressure on the New Jersey governor and the state's attorney general to reopen the investigation. The police moved quickly and made arrests of Miss Hall and her two brothers. Henry Carpenter was not implicated in the crime. The Klan was indicted, and they went on trial for murder. Crowds filled the courtroom during the trial, and the newspapers loved the strangeness of the affair. The Stephen family, thanks to their numerous eccentricities, made great copy. The key witness in the case was the pig woman, who was now dying of cancer.
Sorry.
Unable to walk, she was forced to testify from her hospital bed, which was wheeled into the courtroom each day. The pig woman's aged mother also came to the courtroom and sat near her daughter's bed. Whenever her daughter would speak, she kept remarking loudly, "She's a liar, she's a liar, she's a liar." Jeez. That's what she is, and that's what she's always been. Hers was Charlotte Mills, the daughter of murder victim Eleanor Mills. She had become a reporter after her mother's death, and thanks to her familiarity with the case, was assigned to cover the trial by her editor. Her reporting was far from unbiased, and almost every article had a reference to Miss Hall's dowdy wardrobe and frumpy appearance. There were a number of witnesses called by the state, but they chose to hinge the prosecution on the testimony of Jane Gibson, the pig woman. She managed to moan her testimony from her deathbed, with Miss Hall and her brothers glaring at her, and her own mother loudly protesting each statement with her ramblings about what a liar her daughter was. That's her mom saying that?
Yeah. Jesus.
I was reading quick. I thought it was Miss Hall saying it. Why would her mom be saying it? What the fuck? It would have been humorous if not for the tragic nature of the case and the people involved. Miss Gibson testified that she had been riding her mule on the night of the murders, chasing corn thieves from her property. A short distance away, she saw the defendants get out of the car and walk quietly into the apple orchard. Gibson dismounted and began following them to see where they were going. She said that she saw five figures near the tree and heard a voice exclaim, "Explain these letters." She said she heard shouts, cursing, and the sounds of fighting, and then she said she saw two men, Reverend Hall and Henry Stevens, on the ground. A shot was fired, and then a woman began screaming, "My God, my God." Three more shots were fired, and the woman was silent. Gibson decided to get back to her mule, but as she started to leave, she looked back and saw Miss Hall bending over what appeared to be a body. She saw something silver flash in the woman's hand, and then Miss Hall made slashing motions toward the figure on the ground. The pig woman then fled to her mule and left the scene. While her story was compelling, Gibson's memory proved to be faulty under cross-examination. The defense was unable to break her account of what had happened that night, but they were able to show that she did not remember her three husbands' names or even when she divorced any of them.
Yikes.
Her memory of anything outside of the murders was hazy at best. The dying woman's efforts to recall the normal aspects of her life created enough reasonable doubt in the minds of the jury that they simply could not bring back a guilty verdict. Miss Hall and her brothers were released. Jane Gibson, the pig woman, lived until 1930. To the day she died, she insisted that her story of the events of that night was true. Miss Hall and her brothers sued the New York Daily Mirror and received an undisclosed settlement. After that, they faded away into history. And if the killer was anyone outside of the Stevens family, he disappeared too. The murders of the preacher and the choir director have never been solved.
It's just a mystery.
Very, very interesting.
I believe the pig woman.
Me too. I want to know why her mom doesn't.
Yeah, jeez.
That's wild.
Maybe she is a liar. Who knows?
Maybe she lied about a bunch of shit in the past. Who knows, man? They didn't say.
That's terrible.
Well, is it time?
Well, I got a story.
Oh. It's not a strange news story?
No, that's kind of long, I think.
Yeah. Is it news?
Yeah. Well, either way.
It's up to you, man. Wherever you want to put it.
It's a story.
All right, we'll go with story.
It's a story.
You guys don't get to hear the cool, strange news music now, so whatever.
Not yet, not yet, not yet. This is off of Gaia.
I like Gaia.
Yeah.
I mean the actual thing. I'm not trying to make a fucking joke, bro.
Harvard professor Avi Loeb says universe created in a lab.
Wow.
One of the greatest mysteries of our universe is the question of what existed before the Big Bang and how our universe was created. Could it have been created in a lab by a higher form of intelligence, an extraterrestrial intelligence? Scientists have studied for years the possibilities that may have created the Big Bang, how our universe was created. Now, Avi Loeb, Harvard professor of science and author of Extraterrestrial, the First Sign of Intelligent Life Beyond Earth, proposes in his latest editorial for Scientific American that our universe may have been created in a lab.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of theories that we're in a
simulation. Yeah, I've heard that. Definitely.
This might be the kind of same deal. Modern physics has a problem. We do not yet have a good understanding of how to unify quantum mechanics and gravity. If we did, we could, in theory, figure out how to create a Big Bang. This idea led Professor Loeb to this theory. Quote, if we imagine a civilization that had science and technology for much more than a century like we did, then they could have arrived at a theory that unifies quantum mechanics and gravity. And if they figure out how the Big Bang can be created, perhaps they could also produce it themselves in a laboratory, end quote.
Well, that's interesting.
Quote again, and if that, if that happens, then there is a very interesting possibility. Just like in nature, for example, a chick comes out of an egg, becomes a chicken, and lays another egg, and so forth. You can imagine a universe like ours giving birth to an intelligent civilization that can create a universe like the one that made it. Imagine if different civilizations were giving a letter grade. Professor Loeb puts us at a grade C.
Okay.
While the more advanced civilizations have a higher grade. One can, in principle, classify civilizations in the universe into different classes. Type C civilization is similar to ours, where we rely on the sun to keep us alive and we are using our environment the way it was provided to us. But then one can imagine a civilization type B, which is not dependent on the star next to which it was born. In fact, it can create a habitat that supports its life far away from the star, Loeb said.
Huh.
You can imagine them creating a platform where a civilization can live happily using nuclear energy supplied to it from nuclear reactors and not from the star that it happens to be born next to. That would be type B. Then type A civilizations would be those that are capable of recreating the astrophysical environment that they live in particular, the universe as a whole. So creating a universe in the laboratory implies that you're at the top of the class of civilizations in the universe. We haven't reached that yet because we don't have quantum theory of gravity.
Holy shit.
That's a lot of crazy shit going on there.
Wouldn't you be God at that point?
Pretty much.
It sounds like it from my stupid mind.
About 70 years ago, the famous physicist Enrico Fermi.
Fermilab! Yeah, moving right by the Fermilab.
Batavia.
Woo!
sat with his group at Los Alamos for lunch, and they discussed extraterrestrial intelligence. And he asked, if they exist out there, where is everybody? Loeb said. My opinion, they're already here. Now that is a very presumptuous question because we had recorded history only for 10,000 years, which is about 1 millionth of the age of Earth. And his question is similar to sitting at home and asking, nobody's knocking on my door, therefore I don't have neighbors. Do I have neighbors? I get it.
I get it. I like it.
The reality of the situation is that they could have visited long ago. They could have witnessed Earth and perhaps even interfered with what happened on Earth. I think they have. But we never know. What we would never know, because only microbes or maybe dinosaurs were around, and they haven't visited in any way that we would recognize very recently. But of course, one way to figure out if we're alone or not is to search. Without searching, we will never find the answer.
I'm trying to keep up with what you're reading here.
I know. It's pretty out there. The important lesson from this possibility is we should search for Class A or Class B civilizations, because we might not be the smartest kid on the block, and we can learn from those civilizations. God damn it. Regarding how to behave and how to get our act together. At the moment, not only are we relying on the sun for our energy supply, but we are also destroying our environment in a way that will not allow us, in principle, to survive for more than a few centuries into the future. So my hope is that by finding evidence for more advanced civilizations, we will be convinced to behave in more clever way, Loeb says.
Well, that's very nice of him to say.
That's a pretty wild theory.
Yeah, it could be something there.
We'll never know.
Won't know. Future humans
will.
We're not going to know shit.
We'll never know.
Even if we did, me and you wouldn't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, all those crazy words in there. And...
Yeah, I'm glad you read that one. I couldn't even read this fucking one.
But I get it. That's cool.
That is a very interesting little piece there, Daniel. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we got 5 minutes. You want to hit a strange news segment if you got one?
Oh, yeah, I got a weird one.
Well,
strange news,
strange news,
strange news. Alrighty. This one's off of onenews.co.nz. I think that's New Zealand. It is New Zealand, but it's about Australia.
Same shit.
Pretty close. Australian baby named Methamphetamine Rules. What the fuck? An Australian woman has named her baby boy Methamphetamine Rules.
Wow.
All in the name of journalism. Sure, she's smoking that meth.
Yeah, she is. She dabbled in it.
ABC journalist Kirsten Drysdale told Nine's A Current Affair she took the dramatic step for WTFAQ show, which answers questions sent in by the audience. Questions had been submitted about baby names and what parents were legally allowed to name their newborns. Quote, what we were trying to find out was what the register names a baby if the parents don't come up with an acceptable name. Because that's what actually happens if parents don't lodge a name that's acceptable. I would say log, maybe, but it says lodge.
I think that might work. That might hurt.
Unable to get a clear answer from the Department of Deaths, Births, and Marriages, Drysdale came up with a novel solution. So we thought, well, we're in the perfect position to find out. We'll lodge a name that's so outrageous that it couldn't possibly be accepted. But unfortunately, it did somehow slip through.
Unfortunately for that kid, man. Imagine if you're that fucking name, I'd be pissed.
Little Methy?
Yeah, what the fuck?
She had been told all name applications would be checked by a human, so the chances of methamphetamine rules being accepted was slim. I knew there was, in theory, a very, very, very small risk that there could be some kind of human error or a system failure, she said. But I really didn't think this would happen. The good news is, baby boy won't be stuck with that name for long. Mum is currently in the process of having a correction made.
I,
was vaguely listening. She wanted the name to fucking get on the news and
to see what basically the government would
give
her.
Oh, to see if it would go through.
There's got a registrar, and they'll give them a name if
it actually went through.
It actually went through.
And now she's going to give them, what's the normal name she's going to give them?
Doesn't say, but.
I want to fucking know.
She has to go through courts now to give them a real name.
Yeah, good going, lady.
There is a photo. You can barely see her. Side face. It could be a meth smoker.
It could be. She looks kind of mummy-ish. Kind of hot at the same time. I like her eye. She's got a hot eye.
She's got a hot eye and a half nose and half mouth. Huh?
Yeah. That's what happens when you smoke meth, I guess. Just a picture.
That's just a picture, yeah. But yeah, either way, that's pretty strange.
That is very strange. Oh. And we got to like 30 minutes almost.
Wouldn't it be fucked up if she can't change it? We're like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
Little methy's gotta be.
It's called Met. Like, you're going by Met now.
Yeah, M-E-T.
Sorry, sir.
And your middle name is Rules.
Though. Yeah. Well, that's not bad. Met Rules.
O'Doyle Rules.
Yeah, there you go.
O'Doyle Rules.
Well, luckily for our audience, we only got one episode left this season.
They're probably going nuts.
We might get normal on the next one. Who knows?
We got an interview tonight.
We have an interview with another bar patron tonight.
Hopefully there's some good stuff. There. And we'll share that on the next episode.
Yeah, we need something. And as you guys well know, our email is alesandstrangetales@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, correct?
Well, Facebook, yeah. We're on Twitter, but very inactive on Twitter.
Yeah, I haven't been posting shit on YouTube
and
since.
Since fucking
the
last
first season. Season, I think.
Maybe second, but. And we're on Instagram. I try to be active, but it's just.
If we had more listeners, we'd be more active on shit.
Yeah.
But we don't, so we're not. Anyway, that's a good way to leave it out.
Either way.
We want more listeners. Tell your friends. Anyway, this
stories.
Is. Yeah, that too. This is Chris Moyers.
And Sickney. Cheers.